Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, of all of our listeners out there. This is America's Great Loop Cruisers Association weekly blog radio show. As usual, Steve is with us, Steve Cromer, who works on a lot of our technical issues and helps with customer service, and I'm Janice Cromer, the director. I'd like to first of all thank our Admiral sponsors, Curtis Stokes and Associates, Dog River Marina, Regatta Point Yachting Center, Dozier's Waterway Guides and Magazine, and Skipper Bob Publications. For those non-members out there listening to the show, the Great Loop is the continuous waterway that includes the eastern portion of North America, which of course is the Atlantic and Gulf Intracoastal Waterways, the Great Lakes, the Canadian Heritage Canals, and the inland rivers of America's heartland. AGLCA, as we call ourselves, is an organization of people who share a sense of adventure and curiosity about America's Great Loop. Our association's primary purpose is to disseminate information and enhance the overall experience for those learning about, dreaming of, as well as exploring and safely cruising America's Great Loop. Our website is www.greatloop.org. We'd love for you to visit and become a member. Now, all of our loopers out there know that Lake Michigan is a must-do in order to complete the loop. So we've invited Bob Kunath, Waterway Guide Cruising Editor and AGLCA Gold Looper, to be our guest host and guide us through this most impressive waterway. During the show, if you have a comment or a question for Bob that pertains to Lake Michigan, please use our toll-free number, 877-497-1815. Thanks a lot, and I think we'll begin. Bob, thank you so much for helping us out today. I appreciate it.
Good morning, Janice and Steve and everybody that's listening. I hope I can give you some information today, but if you got a question, Janice said, give a call. Let me just open this up by saying Lake Michigan is a gigantic lake. It's over almost 350 miles that you have minimum to make the journey. And it's really a great sailing area as well as a motoring area, but it can be awfully hazardous as well. So let's go and run down some of the stuff. For one thing, low water is not as bad an issue as it is on the coastal areas, but there are some areas in Lake Michigan that can be in trouble. But this year, we've got an 18-inch higher water level than last year. So it's not a huge problem this year. And in addition, probably one of the worst ports on the lake for water was St. Joseph, but they dredged that this year, so even that's not an issue. The other one is Leland, Michigan, and they dredged that every year.
Ice melt off from this horrible...
Say again?
Is that due to the ice melt off from the horrible winter we had?
Yeah, the very, very cold winter prevented evaporation.
Uh-huh.
And then the huge snowfalls up in Lake Superior, which is the biggest contributor to the lakes. We have a common pool with Huron, by the way. It's the same level is what brought the level up. So, and I wouldn't get excited thinking this is a permanent improvement. For one thing, it is about a foot above datum, 18 inches above datum right now, but it's still several feet lower than it was, say, 20 years ago when most of the docks were built. So you
really?
Still might have a climb. Yeah, that's right. So you still might have a climb to get on fixed docks, although most marinas have been working towards conversion to floating docks. But anyway, the bigger hazard this year, which is not as common as we are used to, is cold water. There was still ice on this lake a month ago in certain areas. And if you look at, there's a site that's easy to look at, coastwatch.msu.edu. You'll see graphic presentation of the surface water temperatures. I guess they get it by satellite or something.
Uh-huh.
And there's still spots on Lake Michigan where the water temperature is around 40 degrees.
Wow.
And, yeah, no, there aren't many of them, but there's some holdouts. Don't forget, we're 800 feet deep, so you get some churning that can do some pretty nasty things. The end result of that is twofold. There's a lot of fog this year. particularly on the north half of the lake and in the coastal areas, fog. You know, we've been having to shut down as much as a week at a time because of fog. And we've heard of lake crossings, talking to sailing friends and all that, where they had fog the entire trip and had to keep the radar going. And keeping in mind there's freighters in the middle of the lake, I wouldn't get too quick to jump across the lake without radar. The second thing is, don't forget, what killed all the people on the Titanic that died. It was hypothermia. You fall off your boat in 40-degree weather, and your odds of living more than an hour are not too strong. So I've seen an enormous amount of drownings in Lake Michigan this year. I don't know why. It seems every day you pick up the paper, and there's another one or two people that have drowned either in Lake Michigan or their surrounding lakes. And
oh,
I don't
my
know
goodness,
if it's
that's terrible.
Yeah, I know. It is. I don't know if it's cold water or people just falling off jetties and they become paralyzed because of the cold water. So keep that in mind. Stay on your boat, wear your PFD, and a harness if you've got that kind of boat where you need to be safe to move around.
Uh-huh.
The other thing, of course, is waves. And a couple of weather sites, which are great for this, windmapper.com, passageweather.com, the buoy center, which is critical, by the way, ndbc.noaa.gov. And there's two buoys that you'll find in the center of the lake that'll give you the current readings. It's pretty mild today. But you'll notice, for example, at 45007, which is the one halfway between Racine and Saugatuck, that the dew point is only a few degrees right now lower than the surface and air temperatures, which means it could pop into fog at any time. So just keep that in mind and take a look at your buoys before you do a crossing with those particular buoys. People sometimes ask how long it's going to take to do this trip. Well, if you do nothing but cruise 50 nautical miles a day, it's going to take you 7 days of solid cruising. But you've got to add four weather delays to that, 4 days
of
weather.
And then, of course, you don't see
weather.
Any of them.
Say again?
You don't really see any of the sights.
Oh, that's right. That's doing nothing. That's if you're just on a mission to get from one end to the other. but if you want to enjoy this coast, you're going to have to plan on several weeks. And I know there's more than a few loopers that get here now, let's say, early August coming up, and cruise the rest of the summer here, store indoors, let's say, over in Michigan. You can do that for around $6.50 or $7 a foot. It's a lot cheaper than the West Coast for some reason, more availability. And then spend most of next summer cruising Lake Michigan. There's a lot to see and do here. There's almost 180, I think it's more than 180 marinas. There's all kinds of state park harbors, natural harbors. It's an unbelievable. And on that, by the way, let me mention an article that I published in Waterway Guide magazine, which you can get by going to their website, and there's a link for it right on the first home page for Waterway Guide. But the article is about what I call the crown jewels of Lake Michigan, which is Harbor Springs, Charlevoix, and Leland. And I like those three harbors. Once you get there, they're only a day apart each, and there's spectacular visiting there. There's restaurants, there's sights, there's elegance, there's you name it. The whole spectrum of cruising is right there, which would also then lead me to perhaps a cruise plan. If you've gotten down there and maybe one or two more, stop at Manitou Island for some great anchoring, and that's a national park, part of the Sleeping Bear Dunes National Park. Get a little further south of that and then perhaps consider crossing to Sturgeon Bay. One of the reasons is that we have prevailing westerly winds on Lake Michigan, which means for the rest of the ride south along the Michigan coast, you're going to have more delays. Statistically, you're going to have higher waves and longer travel times because of that. Whereas the shortest crossing on Lake Michigan is from Frankfort to Sturgeon Bay. It's only about 50 nautical miles. And then if you have the time, you can bop into Green Bay and go up to the spectacular ports up on the western shore of Door County, and perhaps even up to Fayette State Park on the Upper Peninsula. Anyway, then your travel down the Wisconsin and Illinois coast, you'd want to stop at Manitowoc for sure, the best maritime museum in the Northern Loop section, and I'd even put it on a par with St. Michael's and so on. This museum in Manitowoc is a knockout. They've got a restored World War II sub of the Gato class called the Cobia, and you can actually, if you make reservations far enough in advance, you can do a sleepover.
Wow.
Your family. I don't know why you want to do that, but
Bob, I'm going to interrupt you for a minute for a commercial from one of our Admiral sponsors, Curtis Stokes and Associates.
Curtis Stokes and Associates is a yacht brokerage company that specializes in great loop capable boats. Curtis Stokes is a supporter of AGLCA at the Admiral level. If you're looking to buy or sell a Great Loop veteran from a trusted and knowledgeable broker, visit the company on the web at curtisstokes.net, email curtisstokes@curtisstokes.net, or call 954-684-0218.
Thanks, Beth. Okay, Bob, pick up on places to see and things you wouldn't want to miss, please.
Sure. Now, the entire east coast on Lake Michigan is beautiful. I'm not going to sell it short. There's plenty of places to anchor because every 20 miles or so there's an inland lake and they've cut a channel through to get in there. So if you're anchoring, you probably want to go the whole way that side. But if you want variety and a full spectrum of what Lake Michigan is, do what I said and go down to Frankfort or so. Cross over to Manitowoc from Ludington, you can do that as well. And by the way, watch for the ferry. The Badger Ferry, the car ferry, is still running that route from Ludington to Manitowoc. It's now in 60 years of making that trip. And it's the last one in the world done doing that, by the way, of that type of equipment. And anyway, from Manitowoc, you may want to jump down to Port Washington. They've got a beautiful little town there, loaded with fine restaurants, and there's a nice museum there, as well as the Tall Ship Festival is coming up in a couple of weeks if they happen to be there in view of that right now. So that's a good place to go. That's also it's too late. It was last weekend, but it's also site of, get a load of this, what they bill as the world's largest outdoor fish fry. it's a very specific definition. But we were there for it last weekend. There's 5 outdoor band stages. There's 30,000 people show up for this thing. 100 cars in a car show. This was awesome. So anyway, from there you probably want to go to Milwaukee. And Milwaukee's a great city for boaters. Again, it's got a big waterfront, and there's a festival almost every weekend. From there, Racine is not a bad stop because it's, for one thing, it's a very big marina and a lot of deep water. Its average is about 15 feet depth in the marina, and it's a great town to do provisioning. I can pick you up and take you to a Sam's Club if you like, because that's our home marina. A lot of restaurants, boat repairs, and so on. And then from there, you can go all the way to Chicago. If you don't want to go there, you can go to Waukegan, and there's an Amtrak. There's a Metro station right by the marina if you want to visit Chicago from Waukegan. And that's a relatively inexpensive place to dock. Now, when you get to Chicago, let me just comment on provisioning. It seems to be better walking distance considerations from the Michigan ports, but that's not to say there isn't good provisioning on the Wisconsin-Illinois side as well. There's some pretty decent provisioning in Milwaukee, but a lot of them are going to require a decent walk. In Port Washington, for example, they'll deliver to your boat. And Chicago Air Show is coming up. That's August 16th and 17th, and that's a big deal. There'll be a couple of million people on the beach watching this air show. It lasts about, I think it's 5 hours or something like that. The headline, and they'll have a lot of jets, the big jets and all that from the Air Force. this year the guest star is the Blue Angels, and actually I know one of the pilots. He's a son of a friend of ours, and this guy, Lieutenant Ryan, Ryan Chamberlain, is really an unbelievably good pilot. He's doing a narration this year. But anyway, that's August 16th and 17th. Chicago is loaded with museums. And if you dock, let's say, at Burnham Harbor, you'll be right smack in the center of the museum campus. If you dock at DuSable Harbor, you'll be closer to the Loop and Millennium Park and so on. But none of these things are all that far apart. There's a lot of concerts in that park through Labor Day.
Uh-huh.
Not too much after Labor Day. The weather turns here early. So there's Chicago's known for steaks. See if you can find some of the steak places to chow down for while you're in Chicago. You'll find if you go to the Waterway Guide, I've got a lot of these places listed in there with a lot more detail, phone numbers and so forth, how to get in there.
Would you recommend, I guess you're kind of partial, but would you recommend the East or West Coast for our loopers?
I recommend what, I'm sorry?
The East or West Coast of Lake Michigan.
Well, again, I like both sides. So to me, the best way to do this is if you come in through Lake Michigan, the top of Lake Michigan, you may want to bop over to Beaver Island on the way as your first stop. That's about 40 miles or so from Mackinac. And that's a very unique island right in the middle of the top half of Lake Michigan. And what used to be for a few years, an actually independent country formed by a Mormon named Jesse Strang, who settled there in the 1860s, declared himself king, took a whole mess of wives and so on. Declared himself an independent country. And the Congress didn't like that a whole lot, so they sent a warship in there to negotiate with him. And he was rowing out to the warship, and he got shot in the back by some of his loyal supporters. the rest of the Mormons then left Beaver Island and went over to Charlevoix and took on the Irish there in a battle called the Battle of Charlevoix. I mean, it sounds comical now, but I'm sure it wasn't very funny then when they were
trying to kill each other. My goodness.
Yeah, I know. I mean, this is an amazing history for Ireland. And then go over to Harbor Springs. That's a good next stop. That's an elegant place. Half the money from Chicago is in Harbor Springs.
Really?
And then I mean, it's really an elegant place, great restaurants, a lot to see and do, terrific shops and all that. And a very good protected anchorage harbor that's unbelievably safe. It's a harbor within a harbor. That's how safe it is. Then only 15 or 20 miles from there is Charlevoix, which is where the other half of the Chicago money is and Detroit money. That's another very elegant place. Charlevoix is actually on a small lake, a half a mile wide, but then you've got the 15-mile length of Lake Charlevoix itself to explore, which is, again, an inland lake. Then following that, you can go down into Traverse Bay and visit a lot of places there, those good harbors, and then the other is a third of the crown jewels that I call crown jewels in Leland, which is based on a historic fishing village, and they still run commercial fishing out of there. And there's a smokehouse, a lot of great stores, good provisioning, and it's a harbor of refuge also. So, and then from there, bop over, like I said earlier, to the South Manitou Island. There's a lighthouse you can climb. There's trails, there's camping with no dogs. You can't bring a dog there. And then work your way down to Frankfurt and cut across. Now, the reason I say cut across is you've already seen the best of the West Coast. There's plenty of good things to see south. Don't misunderstand me. But the other side is different. So if you want a full Lake Michigan experience, spend a week or two on that top half of the eastern side, then cut across and do the bottom half of the western side. And you'll hit the best ports, like I said, Manitowoc, Chicago, Milwaukee, and the scene. So and the prevailing wisdom there was always to go down and stay on the East Coast. And, again, that may be true if anchoring is your requirement because there isn't a lot of places to anchor. There's no natural harbors on the western shore. They're all on the eastern shore. And staying in those
marinas?
Artificial harbors are not not desirable. So,
what about marinas on the west coast? Are they sparse?
They're fine. Oh, yeah. Reef Point Marina in Racine is the biggest. Well, it's not the biggest. North Point Marina in Illinois is the biggest. I don't particularly like that marina because it's isolated. There's a lot of swampland around it and so forth. There's a lot of bugs. But it is pretty much the last, it's the first marina in Illinois.
Uh-huh.
All the marinas on the west coast are floating dock, and they're all on the newer side. Even though Manitowoc is probably 40 years old now, it was, I think, the first floating dock system on Lake Michigan. By the way, you'll find Midwest trawlers there with Ken and Karen Schuler, who sell a nice line of trawlers. And long time AGLCA sponsor, they put a nice display in the Manitowoc Museum.
Really?
On the Great Loop, it's specifically the AGLCA.
Great, that's wonderful.
Yeah,
to know.
We used to have our trawler port seminars there and rendezvous. Trawler Fest, I should say, the West Marine used to run. We did them there for several years.
Well, we're almost out of time, Bob. Did you want to say something about ESD?
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. I was going to get to that sooner or later. if you're not familiar with ESD, the term means electric shock drowning. And as opposed to electrocution, everybody knows if you grab a couple hundred volts and put it in your teeth or something, you're not going to survive, and you're going to die very quickly. Electric shock drowning is where a very, very small current leakage gets into the water, and you go into the same water with that, and you become the conductor between the source of that power and ground. And the effect of that can be catastrophic. It only takes 30 milliamps of current to paralyze your body. So if you're in the path between, the positive and negative, the anode and cathode, that we're talking about, in the water, you become paralyzed and you feel a tingling and numbing sensation, but then you find out you can't move and eventually you drown. As simple as that. This phenomenon wasn't even known or identified until about a dozen or so years ago. There's been a fair amount written about this, fortunately, in recent years. A little boy named Kevin Ritz out in California died, oddly enough, sadly enough, the family boat. His father had just bought it, and it was not aware there was an issue with it. Why I'm bringing this up now is because it's not a hazard in salt water, because salt water has an immediate path to ground because it's the high mineral content. In fresh water, it leaks into the fresh water. It's trying to return to its source, the electricity is. And since a human body has the same conductivity as salt water, it's an excellent conductor. So you get near this power source, it goes through your body, you're paralyzed, you drown.
You wrote an article about it, I believe, that we published in the Great Loop Link, and I think we're doing an update soon.
Yeah, I believe it is in the Great Loop Lake. When was it? Do you know offhand what the issue was?
No, I don't. I'm sorry. I didn't.
Because I looked for it the other day. It must have been a while back because I don't remember it. I couldn't find it the other day. Well,
I don't remember. I think it was about 3 years ago, though.
It could have been. Yeah, I just didn't find it quickly yesterday. I was looking for it.
Yeah.
Look through the Great Blue Links, see if you can find it. If you can't find it there, go to Waterway Guide site and do a search for ESD Bob Gunath, and you'll find it there. That was published there as well. It was also published in the Ensign magazine, which is the Power Squadron's the national magazine. So this is, by the way, this is also a hazard in brackish water. So, of course, it's too late. You've already been through the Chesapeake, but you've got the same issue there. Any place where the conductivity of the water is less than pure salt water, you're in the risk of becoming a casualty.
Yeah. Okay, well, well, I think we're just about out of time. Is there anything you'd like to close with, Bob, that we may have missed?
Well, you know, there's just an overall comment here that a lot of you folks approaching Lake Michigan are coming in with a whole bunch of bad stories preceding and perhaps some fear even. And all of that is basically, unfortunately, a lot of it is true. It's a very unpredictable. I'm not going to make a sexist comment. Some people might say it was like a woman, very unpredictable. But certainly, it is certainly unpredictable.
Uh-huh.
Remember, the most dangerous piece of equipment that you can have on a boat is a schedule. And if you tell somebody that you're going to pick them up in, let's say, Milwaukee, you can tell them where you're going to pick them up, and you can tell them when you can pick them up. You can't put those two together.
Right.
And the reason is you've got to allow at least one out of every 3 days on Lake Michigan for sitting in port, and sipping some latte, and just waiting for the weather to improve.
Yeah.
So don't rush it. Take your time. And like I said, consider doing a whole year stint in here. Go home to Florida for the winter or whatever, and
uh-huh.
come back next year and finish the tour. There's a lot to see and do here.
Okay, fantastic. Well, thank you very much, Bob. Have a good rest of your summer, and say hello to Carol for us.
Certainly
and
will.
Yes, I'm sorry.
That's the questions that I had for Bob. He kind of went to some of it, but one of the things that we kind of recommend to people is that they want to be off Lake Michigan and into the river system right around Labor Day. Then we've heard from other people that, oh, yeah, Lake Michigan only gets good in September and October and November. So I'm asking Bob about, suppose I wanted to spend September in Lake Michigan. Is that a bad idea, good idea?
Well, there's a couple of things to consider. Yes, you know, for one thing, the days are going to get short. So you don't have the length of time and all that stuff. We don't haul our boat until October. Yes, there can be some nice weather in Lake Michigan in September, but it's only going to be about half the time. I mean, you know, even late August, you start seeing the fall storms start to build up and come in for a couple of days, and then they move on. So you can do it, but it's certainly not the same weather you had earlier in the season. The second thing is a lot of the state marinas in Michigan, a lot of them shut down after Labor Day, so or go to minimal staffing because the staff went back to college. So you might find lack of people to take their lines and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So the end of boating season is Labor Day weekend, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it does go beyond that, but it becomes very iffy. And, you want to leave. We talked about this even before showtime. You want to leave time to go up to Knoxville. You need a two-week round trip to go up to Knoxville and go to a football game. Get your tickets early, by the way. Volunteer Stadium sells out early. But that's a terrific side trip. I mean, that's something that's, in my mind, not to be missed. Don't just turn around a wheeler after the rendezvous. Keep on going. You're going to have a really nice experience up there. And that is fall. The colors will be around, and you'll still have mild temperatures and weather, even though the mornings may be a little brisk. So I'd rather be there in October than Lake Michigan, I can tell you that. There's no doubt about it.
Me too.
Yeah, all right. You hear it. I guess Bob Duffy would chime in on this, too, if he was here.
So, I'm going to go back and restate the advice that we use, and that is you want to get off Lake Michigan by Labor Day weekend, basically. If you're late, it's not the end of the world, but the weather gets worse and the marinas are limited. Is that about
right? I'm trying to think. I think it was Tom last week on talking about Lake Superior. Hey, Hoggy recommended, you know, you can basically boat through October. So it really is a matter of opinion, but you really need to be aware of the weather.
Well, even the North Channel has a lousy reputation after the middle of or late August.
Yeah.
Don't forget, we are pretty north up here. We're even right where I am here. It's 41 degrees and 42 in Racine, and it's, when you go a little further up there, you're getting into the higher latitudes. Yeah, fall happens. Even though in Midland Bay, they told me they boat through October, but yeah, I'm sure it's not every day. I can guarantee you that. So.
All right,
I'd say yes. Within a week or two of Labor Day, you want to be heading down the river. Yeah.
Okay. That was
okay,
question.
I guess that's it. Everyone have a good weekend and safe cruising, and we'll be back next week. Thanks a lot
you
for
bet.
Listening.
Thanks for the opportunity to sound
Bob.
Off for a while. You bet. You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.